Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to all that will hear this message anytime they do. With Passover coming up in just a week and a half, coming very quickly, and I've been giving some Passover messages, and there's one I want to give today that I think is an extremely important message, not just for Passover, although it's related to it, but just as a believer in general. It's called Pride versus Humility. Pride versus humility. And you may see in medical journals that they say cancer is the number one killer in the world today. And I vehemently argue with that I say pride is the number one killer in the world today. Pride is the number one killer. Love is the spirit of Yahweh, as Yahweh is love, 1 John 4:16. But the spirit of Satan is the spirit of pride. It's the spirit of pride. And I think every human being to a degree has pride. But if you're on a scale of 1 to 100 and your pride is a 5 or 4 or 3 or 10, not to say you don't have to work on it because it should be a 0. But really today I'm going to talk about pride as we see with Satan the devil. Pride that just turns a Lucifer, the angel of light, into an evil, demonic, sickly looking creature called Satan the adversary. And pride is something that will absolutely destroy a human being. The times we're living in now, we see pride so rampant in the world that it actually is frightening. It's frightening to see it. And I don't think anybody with the spirit of Yahweh could have the spirit of Yahweh with that kind of pride. Unfortunately, there are people in the body of Messiah claiming to be part of the body of Messiah. I'm not going to go over the scriptures again that we did in the last couple of weeks. You know, the parable of the wheat and the tares, very clearly, when he says the tares were planted by Satan. So this is where the problem comes, though, for the people of Yahweh. As the people of Yahweh, we're looking at every person as if they're an Elohim-guided person of Yahweh with his spirit. And unfortunately, it's not that way. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. And people that are filled with pride, filled with accusation, filled with gossip, people that you can't so much that everything in their life, every time they walk in the door, everything is just centered on them, how you're looking at them, how you perceive them. He didn't say my dress was nice. He didn't say my hair is nice. It is absolutely vile, and not 100%, 1,000% everything Yahweh is about. And we've all dealt with it. We dealt with people like this, and somehow we think that if we show them more love, if we accept them, if we allow it, and we keep our mouth shut, that it's going to help the situation, and it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Pride is something like cancer that if you don't get rid of, if you have a big barrel of apples or oranges or whatever on top of your table, and there's one bad, rotten one in there, if you don't get rid of that rotten one, it will destroy it all. And it's the same way here. You know, I hate to be pessimistic, but I'm telling you, the times we're living in, you will not change somebody who's filled with pride. Now, I'm not going to say that there's never someone filled with pride who doesn't change. It can happen. It's rare, but it can happen. The longer someone stays in their pride, the harder it's going to be. But you will not change them. Unless there is, like we talked about last week, a grave repentance. Unless there is 100% change. You know, a Jonah-style type repentance that's coming to Nineveh or that kind of thing, you're not going to change it. And unfortunately, most of the time, when you try to correct a prideful person, as we'll see, they'll get more adamant, they'll get more accusing toward you, they'll turn more toward anybody. It is so sickening, because really, when you look at what pride is, it's simply putting a self-worth to you, yourself, that isn't there. And I'm going to show you today what we're all worth, all of us, as human beings together, in the eyes of Yahweh. Not from my words. I'm going to share with you what Yahweh says. What all of us are worth, together, in human form. And it ain't much. And yet pride, somehow a human being that is going to live, if they're lucky, 60, 70, 80 years in this rotten, fleshly human body that we have. Somehow they think that somehow, you know, they're better in the eyes of other people. You know, I don't know if you've watched the news in the last year, you know, some of the changeovers that have come in the world, one being North Korea, you know, that the leader in North Korea, an evil person that just, I mean, destroyed people's lives. There's concentration camps going on in North Korea today. People are suffering, they're dying, starvation, you wouldn't believe how it's going on there. Because of one demon, one evil demon that makes every person in North Korea put their picture, his picture, on the back of their wall. And if they come in your house and there's dust on his picture, you go to the gulag, you go to the concentration camp. And he actually says that he's a god, a deity. His father, who's dead, is also a deity. And they brainwash these people into believing it or else. You know why? Because if you don't believe that he's this deity, you're going to go off and you're going to get tortured and killed. And it shows you the end of pride is so wicked you can't imagine. And like I said, there's no greater example we can go to where pride leads than Satan. You know, none of us have lived for eternity. None of us were in the Garden of Eden. But the book of Ezekiel tells us this beautiful, beautiful light giver that he could just imagine seeing this beautiful cherub with beautiful wings, that his job was to walk up and down that garden and protect the holiness of Yahweh. You know, it's one thing for a human to question, does Elohim exist? They've never seen him in their life or whatever. We only pity people like that. But how can somebody who was in the presence of Yahweh go from that beautiful creature into an ugly, ugly, evil demon, and its pride? It's pride. He was giving himself a worth. It wasn't good enough that he was third in the kingdom of Yahweh, third in the universe. He had to be second. He had to be first. Isaiah 14, I will throw him to the throne. I will be like the Most High. I. And it's absolutely disgusting in the eyes of Yahweh. And we're living here. We're living it. We're going to read it today. We're going to see. We're in the Babylonian, the Laodicean era. We're in the era where people despise leadership that Yahweh set up. They despise leadership in the workplace. They despise leadership in the family. They despise any kind of leadership. You know, we're seeing it out there everywhere you look in the world. Not just in the USA. It's in Europe. It's in the Middle East. All of these people protesting. Protesting and marching and my rights, and I want this. And you'll see a person on the street that's not the king, he's not the president, he's just a person. And they'll stick a microphone in front of him. This is what we want. And we want him down now. And we want this. And then we want to make sure these people are too rich. Take it from them and give it to us. Wow. And you hear them and you hear this anger in them. And it's worldwide. It's worldwide. And it's in Yahweh's congregation. Praise him that many of these people will leave. You know, they only come in for a time. But a lot of times they take collateral damage with them. And this is what I'm saying. You know, we have to fight it 100%. We have to fight it ourselves first. You know, take the plank out of our own eyes before we take the plank out of our brothers. But it's something that we have to eliminate in Yahweh's congregation. Because it is so filled now, pride, that it's eerie, it's scary. So today we're going to talk about that. Pride, like I said, is simply giving yourself a false worth above others. We all have different jobs. We know judicial order. Someone might be watching the door. Someone might be checking up. Somebody might be speaking. But our job position in judicial order has nothing to do with our worth to Yahweh. Yahweh loves all human beings equally. We all have the same worth to him. We all have the same potential, human potential. Man or woman, we have the same potential to be a Melchizedek priest. And yet we don't have the same job. A woman is not a teacher, according to judicial order. A woman wouldn't be sitting here teaching in the congregation. You know, a man doesn't have babies, you know. So we all have our different jobs that we do. But it doesn't give us more of a worth because of that. And pride is giving yourself more of a worth than what's really there. So really, when you think about it, pride is nothing but a lie. It's a lie, and it's a big lie. And where this leads to is, it leads to the person becoming 100% self-centered toward themselves. And like I said, you can come together, and you could be having a Bible study on the starving people in Sudan. And at the end, that person is all focused on them. What do you think of the comment I said? Did you think it was good enough? Do you think everybody liked it? I noticed so-and-so didn't really say anything in my comment. Do you think it says it? And they're so self-consumed with them that it's absolutely sickening. Because their life becomes a lie. Anything that's said to them, anything that's written to them. If you ask someone to close the door, he didn't say it nice enough. Why didn't he ask me? Why didn't he ask him? The person that gets self-consumed in pride, he lives nothing but a lie. His whole existence has become nothing but a lie. And you're actually putting yourself before Yahweh. When you're living in pride, you break the first commandment. Because now it's no longer, I am Yahweh your Elohim, you shall have no other Elohim before me. It's not, hey, did what he say offend Yahweh? Did what he say against the word of Yahweh? Everything is toward you. You know, he didn't smile when he said that. Oh, he said this too harsh to me. He said this too this way. He didn't do that. And you literally become your own Elohim. And that's what happened to Satan the devil. Satan the devil became an end of himself. He became his own Elohim by doing that. Humility now is the complete opposite. Humility is the 100% complete opposite. It's lowering your self-worth to the reality of what it really is and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's why Yahweh resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You have to realize that somebody who is living in pride, and we're going to give a little litmus test here to see, that you have to realize Yahweh is resisting them. And if Yahweh is resisting them, why would we be befriending people that Yahweh is resisting? Yahweh resists the proud. You know, resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Ephesians 5:29. So remember, pride is putting a self-worth to yourself that's not real. It's a lie. But humility is the exact opposite. It's lowering your self-worth to the reality of what it is and loving your neighbor as yourself. Because now you can love your neighbor as yourself. You know why? Because you realize you're not better than your neighbor. You're not better than your neighbor. How can I live here with food and clothing and shelter while my neighbor is out here starving to death? But you want to know what I've heard people say from the West, and even brethren? I've heard them say, well, hey, you know, the people in Africa, it's okay that they're starving to death because they're used to it. They never knew anything else. They're used to it, so they can do it. Wow. That's pride. That's pride. The whole rapture theory is nothing but pride. You know? What do the people tell you in the West? Why is the rapture going to come? Because we're not appointed to wrath. So there's a believer dying every 6 minutes in the world, but you know, that's only in India and Africa and these other places. But when it comes to the West, uh-oh, look out. Then we're not appointed to wrath. It is putting a worth above yourself that's not there. And unfortunately, most people that are filled with pride, they don't know it, they won't admit it, and they're so blinded their life to it that you can never get through to them. And that's the sad reality of it. Ephesians 5:29 says, "For then no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even also as our Master does to the congregation." No one ever hated his own flesh. One of the reasons why pride is rampant is because we've lived in a whole generation now of psychology, you know, of evolution, of, you know, oh, don't spank your child. You're going to give him, you know, low self-esteem. And that's what everybody feels. You know, that's why, you know, you didn't have this thousands of years ago that people pay money and they sit here in front of somebody for 2 hours and they sit on a couch and they tell them how bad their life is. And then that person gives them all the reasons. It's your husband, it's your mother, it's your, you know, you wet the bed when you were a baby, it's your doctor who spanked you when you were born. You know, they have 1,000 reasons. But it's not you. And you know what? You have low self-esteem. Oh, I feel so bad about myself. I don't like myself. Oh, you know, I just don't like my, you know, it would have been better if I was never born. And what is that? It's just pride. Because the Bible says here, no one ever hated his own flesh. When people claim they have low self-esteem or people are depressed because, oh, you know, it's better if I didn't born, they're looking for pity. Because what does pity do? It brings attention to you. It brings attention to you. And pity is of the devil, and pity is pride. Self-pity. There's a time we should pity. We should pity the people that are starving here. We should pity the 1.5 million children that are starving to death every year. There's a lot we can pity in this world, but we don't pity ourselves. We don't pity ourselves, you know, because my mommy let me wet the bed when I was 2. I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see anyone in the Bible blaming their parents, blaming their teachers, blaming whoever for their life and getting away with it. I see Ezekiel 18. The sins of the fathers don't go to the children. The sins of the children don't go to the father. We are all accountable for our own actions. We live in a vile world. We have good, we have bad. That's the way it is. And most believers in this world, just being a believer and having the spirit of Yahweh and having Yahweh in your life and having the confidence that surpasses all understanding because Yahweh, the creator of the universe, is there and having the hope of the resurrection, we're 100% above anybody else in this chaotic, uncertain world. There is no reason whatsoever in this world why any believer should be sulking in self-pity. Yahweh has given each of us gifts, and he's going to command those gifts when he returns, interest on those gifts. Matthew 25. Everyone in this room and everyone that's watching this and every believer in the world, if they have the Spirit of Yahweh in them, has gifts from Yahweh's Spirit. And he did not give us these gifts to be dormant. He gave us these gifts to produce fruit. He gave us these gifts to go out and bring this good news to others and help those 1.5 million children that are starving to death. And help the believer who's going to die every 6 minutes. Are you going to stop the death? No. But you can give him eternal life that he accepts what we have here. You can give him hope for the resurrection. And then it won't matter that they're dying every 6 minutes. Because you know what it means if you reframe it? Someone enters the kingdom every 6 minutes. We have to stop sulking in self-pity. Self-pity is of Satan, and self-pity is pride. It's pride. I say it, you know, if I die today, I would consider myself the most blessed person that ever lived on earth. And I had things in my life. I've had death, I've had sickness, I've had bankruptcy and everything else. But my life has been so blessed to this point. I'm not even 50 years old. To live in Israel for the last 12 years over here, going on 13 years. It's just beyond measure been the highlight of my life. But to be a believer almost 30 years, you know, to grow up with a wonderful family. My family weren't converted. They made 1,000 mistakes, but they were the greatest parents anybody could ever have. Same with my brothers, my cousins, everybody. I have no complaints. No complaint of my childhood, no complaint of my adulthood. I had a great life to this point in blessings from Yahweh. And especially if I compare that to 80 to 90% of the world, which I've seen a lot of it. And you want to know the most interesting point? Most of these people that are living the most horrific lives you can imagine, they never complain at all. I've been to Africa 7 times. I've been to the Philippines 3 times. You know, I've been to Kenya, I've been to Ethiopia, been to the borders of Sudan, Uganda. I have never heard complaints from anybody on any of my mission trips. South America, never. I would never even know how bad these people were living until one time you get to go to their house or you see how they're living. In a grass hut, you know, a dirt floor. Some of them just simply don't have money for food, and they would never even tell you. There's such joy, there's such happiness in their life. They're so thankful to Yahweh. I have never heard more praise songs, even songs they make up, all day long singing it, than I hear in these third world countries. Sometimes, like in Africa, they'll sing for hours, praising Yahweh, praising Yeshua, and you never know they had a care in the world. Because they're children of Yahweh. Their focus is on the work of Yahweh. Their focus is on Israel, Jerusalem, Yahweh's end time work, the kingdom that's coming. And their whole life dream, no matter where I go, is simply just to come here and see it. That is the dream of almost every single true believer anywhere I go in the world. You know, and how blessed we are. How blessed we are that we're here. You know, we're actually here. We're not hoping to be here. Yahweh allows us to live here. Yahweh allows us to be part of the solution, to help people. Every year we help people to come here for the feast, for the school, for these things. And you make dreams come true and give encouragement to these people. And yet pride is the opposite. Pride goes on the other side. So there's no such thing as low self-esteem. It's not there. It's a fallacy, and it's pride. Proverbs 6:17, the six things Yahweh hates. Verse 16, seven are hateful to his soul. High eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. High eyes. High eyes. What does he mean by that? Jewish idiom. You've seen it before. You know the eyes that go up. I've literally have to pull the wax out of my ears sometimes to hear people that are supposed to be believers and will make statements about another believer being lower than them because of the area of the world they live or the color of their skin. Can you imagine? Tell me, what color is Yahweh's spirit? Is Yahweh's spirit white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant? Is Yahweh's spirit African-American? Is Yahweh's spirit Chinese? Come on. What is on their mind? And the world, you know the way the world is. The world is the spirit of Satan, which is the spirit of division. So like I said, in the world, people always look to divide. You know? It's like no matter what the situation is, they're going to be against somebody. You know? So there's always going to be some kind of division in the world. But the spirit of Yahweh is the opposite. It's the spirit of unity. It's the spirit of oneness. And there's only one spirit. You know, there's only one spirit. And that spirit is not, Yahweh is not Italian. You know, although he'll hear me if I pray to him in Italian. But I'm not going to say, hey, Godfather, you know. My Goomba, he's not, no. He's not white, he's not black, he's not yellow, he's not Italian. He's not anything like that. He's all things. He's spirit. And spirit, it transcends that. And to me, it's been the greatest blessing in my life that people look that no matter where you go in the world, you're not coming as an American or an Israeli to somewhere. You're coming as a child of Yahweh to another child of Yahweh. And racism is again, it's pride. To think that somebody's better because they come from an area or they have a certain nationality to them or color, skin, or anything else. It's prideful. And like he says here, Yahweh hates it. He absolutely hates it. Pride 11, Proverbs 11, Pride 11, Freudian slip. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Pride comes, then shame comes, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride comes and then shame comes. You know, sometimes when I, like I said, I've had the blessing of dealing with many, many situations over my time as an elder in the congregation. And when you're dealing with someone in pride, you're never going to solve the problem. It doesn't matter because somebody with pride will not want to solve the problem unless you appease his pride, which would be against Yahweh. And then people wonder, why can't we just go get along? You know? Because you can't get along with a demon and the spirit of Yahweh next to each other. You're not going to get along with that. You know, what we need to do is have the character to realize it. And if somebody is filled with pride, you will not solve the problem. It's that simple. We read it right here, unless Yahweh's word is not going to come about. Pride comes, then shame comes. And that's usually the way it happens. Because someone who's prideful, if you point out the fault, if you try to come to some kind of Elohim-guided conclusion, what's going to happen? They're going to get offended. They're going to say things that are against the word of Yahweh, that are unrighteous. But with the humble is wisdom. But with the humble's wisdom. And we see this contrast, that humility, which is simply, it is simply having the Elohim-guided wisdom to understand you're not better than anybody without the Spirit of Yahweh. That's all it is. It's just understanding our self-worth as a human being that we're going to see what Yahweh says about it. So pride comes in shame, but with the humble's wisdom. Proverbs 9:8. Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. I've had people come in the congregation and they want to tell me, you're my pastor, you're my pastor, you're my pastor. Until you very lovingly correct them in the smallest way. Ooh, then all of a sudden you go from pastor to devil within a matter of seconds. You know? If you're looking for a pastor that's just going to stroke your back with nice things, I'm not the guy to come to. I'm not here to beat anybody over the head. But if there's something that has to be dealt with, it will be dealt with. And pride will stop it. Pride will stop it. Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. And that's what happens. You're loving you, lovingly trying to bring the simplest thing to somebody out of love. I've seen it happen many, many times. And the person will turn on you and hate you. Yet on the other end, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. See, somebody who's being led by the Spirit of Yahweh, when he's getting rebuked, you know what that means? It means he's going to be a better servant of Yahweh. It means he's going to be able to get closer to Yahweh. Nobody with the Spirit of Yahweh wants the seeds of the flesh or the fruit of the flesh in their body. So if you can come to me and let me know of something I have that I need to get rid of and help me in how to do it, you become my best friend. You're bringing me one step closer to the kingdom. It's that simple. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be innocent. That's another thing you see with the pride. Oh, you know, the prideful person is against everybody until they're against you, and then they'll join hand in hand. The only time you'll see somebody filled with pride being able to join a friendship is if they can be accusing or maligning somebody else. Then they join hand in hand until that destruction comes, and then those two people blow up, and then they're somewhere else. So very simple. Then you get down to verse 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the pride, the proud. And I can't sugarcoat it. There's certain messages you could sugarcoat. I can't sugarcoat it. Pride is wicked, it's despicable, and it's the spirit of Satan. It's that simple. Because Yahweh is everything, and we are nothing, particularly without His Spirit. And to give ourselves some kind of worth, to make us feel that we're better than any other human being, it just makes absolutely no sense. It makes no sense, and it's not true. And like I said, pride will lead to more pride. Let's go to Isaiah 41. Let's look at what Yahweh says about human beings. And see, is there something we have to be proud of? I said this the other week. You imagine human beings are questioning the existence of Yahweh. You know? A human being that knows he's going to die, that could die that night, you know, that is going to get sick or whatever, and he's going to sit here and talk about Yahweh doesn't exist. He doesn't call him Yahweh, of course. He calls him God. You know, doesn't have the right name. But can you imagine a human being is going to sit there and he's going to do away with the eternal creator? And Yahweh sits in the heavens and he laughs because, like I said, every single atheist has died and Yahweh is still there. So I'm gonna believe the one who's eternal, that has no beginning point, no ending point, before I believe somebody who's going to die. Isaiah 41 and verse 24. He says, behold, you are of nothing, and your work of nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Yahweh's talking about the people choosing a false deity compared to him. Can you imagine Israel? That's what he said. He takes Israel by the hand. He shows himself. He reveals himself to them. He does the miracles in the wilderness. He parts the Red Sea. And they build a golden calf. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the east. He will call on my name, and he shall come upon rulers as on mortar, and as a potter tramples clay. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Go back one page. We must realize Yahweh is everything, and we are nothing, to have humility. And Yahweh doesn't do this as a... Yahweh doesn't have pride. He doesn't do it as a trip. you know, that a prideful trip to be better than us. He does it because unless we realize how high he is and how low we are, we will never walk in humility. You'll never walk in humility. Because you may think, oh, I'm only putting myself above a human. But it doesn't matter. It starts today here, and the end of it is Satan the devil. We have to realize what we are. The only thing that makes us any greatness in us is allowing the Spirit of Yahweh to work. That's it. Surrendering ourselves. That's all we can do. Use our free will and say, you know what? Great, you gave me free will. Take it. I don't want it. And allow him to work in our life. And then we can take credit for that. Because we do have free will. And he's, if we give it up. But anything else we do is being done by his Spirit, not by ourselves. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. He says, who has measured his hand? Who has measured in his hand the waters in the heavens by a span meted out? And enclosed in the measure the dust of the earth? And weighed in the balance the mountains and the hills and the scales? Who has meted out the Spirit of Yahweh, or a man his counsel taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And whom trained him? And taught him in the path of justice? And taught him knowledge? And made known to him the way of discernment? Verse 15, lo, nations are as a drop from a bucket, and are reckoned as dust of the scales. Lo, he takes up coasts as a little thing. All the nations together, everyone, is a drop in the bucket to him. You know, when you compare creation to creator, there's no comparison. There's no comparison there. Like I said, a human being, Kim Jong-il, calling himself a god. You know? And where is he now? Where is he now? Laying in the grave, waiting to go to the lake of fire. But in the meantime, his evilness tortured the lives of untold millions of people because of that. Romans 3. Romans, the third chapter. And the most dangerous thing about pride is other sins, you know, if you lied, you know you're lying. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you repent. Most sins are like that because we know from the Torah right and wrong. The danger with pride is that pride is a deceiver. And once someone gets so overwhelmed with pride, they can't see it. You become so blinded that you don't even know you're being led by pride. And then you think you're doing the right thing. Look at the Islam. You know, they'll go out there and blow themselves up and kill innocent people and think that somehow that's pleasing to some deity out there. And that is the danger of it. That it will blind you so much that there's no way you will be able to know anymore right from wrong. And then you can't repent. Because you don't see it as a sin. The same thing that happened with Satan. Romans 3. Verse 10. According to it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one understanding. There is no one seeking Yahweh. They all turned away. They became worthless together. There is no one doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit in their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way. And they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. What am I reading here that sounds that we have to be prideful of? It's not the 50-50 rule that we could say, hey, well, maybe I'm in the other half. He's saying everyone here, there's not one. And yet, when you talk to most human beings, what do they say? Well, I'm not that bad. I've never killed anybody. You know, I'm honest. People think they're actually good. And it's nothing but pride. Pride will stop you from repentance. You know why? Because pride has no wrong. When you're living in a spirit of pride, there's nothing to repent of. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. How's your marriage? My marriage, perfect. How's your kids? My kids are the best. How's your job? I'm the best worker. There's nothing to repent of when there's pride there. And Satan has you right in his grasp because it's the unpardonable sin. Unrepentant sin. We always have something to repent of. We always have something to do better. And yet, The people, the very people that will say that, are the same ones with the finger pointed every day of their life. Because you know what? Since there's nothing wrong with me, since I'm totally perfect, I might as well find out what's wrong with you. And I could see, you got this and he's got that. Oh, you know what? She looked at me the wrong way. Hey, you know, I didn't like that dress. And then what happens? You know, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. If you are not focused day and night on this, on you, on what you need to change, you're going to be focused on what someone else needs to change. Or everybody. And it will grow like a cancer over and over and over. And to the point that the person is unworkable with anymore. They become a reprobate. Because there's nothing to change. The only change is with everybody else. Very sad condition, but totally true. 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. Says, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of the world. There's nothing of pride that's of Yahweh. You know, when you think of Yahweh's way, full cooperation, loving your neighbor as yourself, sacrificing what you have so somebody else can have. If you have two coats, give one to your neighbor. It's the total opposite of pride. Pride is, well, I'm better than him. I deserve two coats. Nah, that's not right. I deserve three. Or even four. And you know, he really doesn't deserve a coat because he's not as good as me. If he worked for that coat, then he could have his own coat. Why should I give him my coat that I worked for? And you know, I put myself through school. Nobody paid my bill. I paid off my student loan. So what? Well, actually I have 10 coats. But what's the difference? They're mine. I earned them. And it's because I'm so good. That's what pride will do. It will warp and distort your thinking into justifying living totally against the word of Yahweh. Absolutely, totally against it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the Father. It's not of the Father, but of the world. Yet the other end, Proverbs 18:12. Before shattering, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor. Because you know another thing that pride will always lead to? They go hand in hand, envy. Because if you are giving yourself this false self-worth that nobody else sees, you know, only because they're all wrong, you know, I should be the top guy and I'm not because I'm not good enough, it's just everyone else is so blinded to how good I am. And that's what will happen, like he says here. But humility comes before honor. Yahweh lifts up and Yahweh takes down. And if Yahweh is going to exalt you to a position of honor, you have to be humble. He is not going to put people in a position of authority that are going to hurt other people. And pride will not only hurt people, pride will destroy people. So that's what happens. And like I said, in the world we lived in before, those people would sit in the back of the congregation, they'd keep their mouth shut, and then when services are over, they're going to mumble to everybody and go around. But it's a different world. You know, now you can become your own Elohim by slapping up a website. You know? Or go on blogs 19 hours a day and sleep the other four. Need an hour to eat and go to the toilet. But people can do that. So now the pride has magnified itself. It magnified itself. Because now it's become self-serving. Because the people that had this root of pride before, now they can actually live it out. Without any repercussions. They don't need congregations, they don't need people, even jobs. You know, I don't know the percentage, but many, many millions of people work from home today. They don't even have to go to the workforce. Everything is geared in the world today and in the global world toward pride. Self-preservation, people worrying about themselves and not others. But Yahweh says humility comes before honor. Let Yahweh be the one to honor us. And if we want to have that honor, humility comes before honor. Numbers 11, verse 24. Like we're saying, pride brings a total self-focus, but humility brings focus on serving other people. Pride is a total self-focus, But humility is a focus on serving other people. Numbers 11 and verse 24. And Moses went out and spoke to the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and caused them to stand around the tabernacle. This is when Yahweh is going to take part of his spirit on Moses and give it to the 70 elders. And Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and set a part of the spirit which was on him, and put it on the 70 men of the elders. And it happened, as the spirit rested on them, that they prophesied. But they did not continue. And two of the men were left in the camp, the name of the one being Eldad, and the name of the second, Medad. And the Spirit rested on them, and they were among those written, but they did not go out to the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, minister to Moses of his young men, answered and said, My master Moses, stop them. And Moses said to them, Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all Yahweh's people were prophets, that Yahweh would put his spirit on them. We don't have to fear that somebody is going to be better than us. This is organized religion. That a leader doesn't want to lift up the spiritual gift of the people in the congregation. He wants to suppress them. Because you want to build this codependent relationship. Where in Yahweh's congregation, we start out that we're already all codependent with each other. Because we don't all have the same gifts. And we actually enhance each other's gifts. We use synergy to all of us building our gifts together to produce the most fruit. Because it doesn't matter whether I'm producing it, or you're producing it, or he's producing it, or she's producing it. Because it all goes to the same account. We're producing fruit for the kingdom. See, and that's Yahweh Elohim guided, unified, working together. But pride is the opposite. Pride wants to keep records of everything. Keeps records of everything good I did because I want to be rewarded. And it also keeps records of every wrong that everybody's done against them. Another thing pride will lead to? A root of bitterness. A root of bitterness, that's one of those worst roots I've talked before. You know, you try to get a root of a big tree out. Whew, sometimes they can be really, really tough. But nothing is worse than a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness comes from pride. It comes from pride. Because people want to keep account of everything that's been done against them in the world. Not realizing that everything they've done wrong, if they came to Yeshua, has all been cleansed by his blood. And yet they want to still keep the account of everybody else. Like I said, Jacob 4, 3 through 6. Jacob 4, maybe I will go there. I mentioned it briefly, but it's an important one on this subject. Because we cannot minimize the fact that Yahweh is fighting against the proud. Yahweh is fighting against them. It's not that he's just trying to urge them to go in a different direction. He is fighting against them. Jacob 4 and verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know the friendship of the world is enmity, hatred with Yahweh? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says that pride dwelling in us lusts with envy? Like I said, pride will bring lust and envy. Looking around, you wanting that. How many times, you know, I played sports my whole life, and you're in a room and they're having a banquet, right? And they're going to give an award out. It doesn't just have to be for sports, it could be for anything. We've done it for Bible baseball games. And somebody's going to get an award that they did good or they excelled. And how many times when they announce the name of that person, and it's not you, you know, do you feel like? And you try to put this smile on, right? Like you're happy for the person. But there's an envy there. And that's what pride leads to. Pride leads to envy. Because we want to be the one that is, you know, clapped for. We want to be the one getting that reward. We want to be the one that everyone's focused on. And I say, some of the greatest people that will be in the kingdom of Yahweh are people that we don't even know about. Those little widows for the last 2,000 years that were never written in a history book. Nobody ever said a word about them. Some of the greatest heroes that could have been martyrs that were never recorded, but everything is recorded in heaven. Let Yahweh be the one to give us our reward. The true reward on Judgment Day. You know, like Yeshua said, We don't need man's recognition. And if you do, it's pride. It's pride that only wants man's recognition. Verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Because of this, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way to fight pride is resisting it 100%. And like I said, the hard part is many people that have that are drenched in pride, they're so blinded to it, they don't see the need for repentance. They don't see the need. But Yahweh resists the proud, gives grace to the humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. First thing you have to do is submit to Yahweh, though. Before you can resist the devil, you have to submit to Yahweh, and that takes surrender. You will never surrender yourself if you're filled with pride. And pride is the greatest thing that stops you from surrendering to Yahweh. We can have spiritual gifts. We can be maybe bearing what looks like fruit. You know, Yeshua said, many will say to me that day, Master, Master, we cast out demons and did all these great works in your name. And they'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Because pride will stop us from surrendering. Because what is pride again? It is a false self-worth. And why don't we want to surrender to Yahweh? Because I know better. We use these mechanisms. There's people that sometimes, they'll constantly make what they think are witty comments against somebody. And it's always put-downs. Oh, I'd expect that from you. You know, to get a little chuckle here and there. It's not funny to Yahweh. Criticizing another person, getting a laugh at somebody else's expense, that's not humor. That's demented. What Yahweh wants is us upbuilding, uplifting each other. And yet people will do it because it's a mechanism of pride so that they don't have to admit where they're wrong. And the way to get around is just keep putting somebody else down. Pride will stop you from repentance, and it will stop you from the kingdom. It is a very, very serious, dangerous thing. And fortunately, it's pretty evident. There is times where pride can be hidden, and people can hide it real good at times. But many times, it's evident. You know, you go into anywhere, or workplace, wherever, you'll see somebody. Because like we said, there's characteristics of pride. And unfortunately, if somebody does not want to repent, if they don't want to change, if they're living in this pride as the people of Yahweh, all you can do is run in the other direction. Because, like I say, cancer is not the number one killer. It's pride. And pride will destroy your congregation. Pride doesn't care if somebody else is leaving, if somebody else is falling away. All it cares about is themselves. So a prideful person can sit in your assembly, and as one by one people leave, they could care less. Matter of fact, they're blaming the people that are leaving. And in the end, the person's going to be left by themselves, and then they'll move somewhere else to start destroying again through their pride. Because the prideful person does not want to repent. They do not want to repent. We must have humility to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. The greatest men of Yahweh all had humble spirits. Abraham, Joseph, David, Daniel, they did not lift themselves above others. And that is why they could be used in such a great way. The only way to lose your pride is to surrender to Yahweh and let Him break you. The only way to lose your pride is to surrender to Yahweh and let Him break you. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his torture stake daily, and let him follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, he will destroy it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, that one will save it. You must lose you. I told you every year at this school, I learn a big lesson. The lesson I learned this year is, it's not about me. When I look at third world brethren, it's unbelievable, like I said, how little they talk about themselves, their problems, these things. Because it's not about me. It's in spite of me. But it's not about me. if anything can offend me, then I haven't lost me. Psalm 119, 172, a great understanding of all they who love your Torah, and nothing will offend you. The only thing that should offend us is sin. What should offend us is what offends Yahweh. If you are offended at anything else, then you have pride. If you're offended because people did not take your suggestion, you have pride. If you're offended because somebody said a certain comment to you, you have pride. If you're offended because somebody didn't recognize something you did, you have pride. If you're offended because somebody said hello and it wasn't happy enough, you have pride. Pride brings offense. It's that simple. A great understanding have all they who love thy Torah, and nothing shall offend them. If anything can offend me, then I haven't lost me, because it's not about me. And if it's not about me, why would I be offended if somebody makes a joke about my hair, my shirt, or whatever? It's not about me. If 100 people were in a room, and somebody said, oh, Bill's a buffoon, nobody would be offended. But if they ever said, you are a buffoon, ooh, ho, then the world would stop. It's another way to look. Are you offended when somebody falsely accuses somebody else in the congregation? Does it offend you when somebody makes false accusations? When somebody gossips about somebody else? Maybe you're not going along with it, or maybe you just walk away. But does it offend you? If it doesn't offend you, if false accusations are giving against someone else in the congregation, but it would offend you if it's against you, then you have pride. Because we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it doesn't matter if the false accusation was set against me or against you. I should have the same righteous indignation to stand against it. And if not, if I'm only going to stand against it for myself, then I have pride. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's why I say, pride gives you a self-worth above others. Humility brings your worth to where it is, equal with everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've seen it over and over and over. Some wicked, demonic, prideful person, you know, who was hiding in the congregation, will come out and attack another person unjustly, say something that's false, and nobody wants to say a word. Nobody wants to stand up for that person. And yet, if it was them, then they would be prideful as anything. Like the old story. You know, when they came for the Germans, I didn't stand up because I wasn't German. You know, when they came for the Italians, I didn't stand up because I wasn't Italian. When they came for the Jews, I didn't stand up because I wasn't a Jew. And when they came for me, there was no one to stand up. Every one of us should stand up for justice. Because it's right. And there is nobody that's less than another person. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter how poor or rich or whatever else. If gossip, maligning, injustice, false rumors, you love your neighbors yourself. Each of us should be able to. In humility to do it. Pride stops that though. Because pride doesn't want to look bad. Pride doesn't want to get involved. Unless it comes to you. How much of our prayer time is for us? How much is for the work of Yahweh? And how much for others? Good indication to show pride. How much of your prayer time is yours? For you, all the things you need, you want, you do. And how much for the work of Yahweh and for others? Psalm 51 in verse 4. Psalm 51 in verse 4. David, a wonderful example of humility, the king of Israel, most beloved king of all time in Israel, and yet he had such a humble spirit because he looked at that little sheep as being just as important as every other sheep. Psalm 51 in verse 4. Against you, you only, David saying this to Yahweh, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the inward parts you teach me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Cause me to hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me out from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O Elohim of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite or humble heart. O Elohim, you will not despise. See, without humility, which is simply understanding what you really are and where you're at, you cannot serve Yahweh. You cannot serve Yahweh unless you understand that you're no better than anybody else. That the only thing that gives us ability to serve and be where we are is Yahweh's grace, His mercy, and His Spirit. And that's why Paul says, where is the boasting? Where is the boasting? The boasting is in Him, not in us. Luke 5. You know, when you look at Yeshua, when He came to earth, He had 12 apostles who were all blue-collar workers. He didn't have any priests. He didn't have any high-ranking officials that He picked to be with His 12 apostles because He needed 12 humble men. And look at the example of Peter here in Luke 5 and verse 4. Luke 5 and verse 4. And as He quit speaking, He said to Simon, row out in the deep water and let down your nets for a haul. And answering, Simon said to Him, Rabbi, laboring all through the night, we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the net. And doing this, they netted a great multitude of fish, and their net was being torn. And they signaled the partners, those in the other boat, to come and help them. And as they came and filled both the boats, so that they were sinking. And seeing Simon Peter fell at the knees of Yeshua, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Master. For astonishment took hold of him and all those with him at the whole of the fish. Peter had this heart. And like I said, pride will stop you from repentance, and repentance will stop you from the kingdom. Repentance is the key to humility. Psalm 51 that I just read. True repentance is the key to humility, because how on earth can we repent before Yahweh and not be humble? It wouldn't be true repentance. When we repent, we're realizing, Romans 3, we're realizing what we are as humans. We're realizing how deficient we are. Many times even with His Spirit. And I pray you feel the same as I do. I look forward every day of my life, like Paul said, for the day I shed this flesh. And I know the greatest fight I have in life is against myself. That's the greatest fight. That if I can overcome me, then the rest is easy. It's not the New World Order, it's not global wars, it's not starvation that's going to keep you out of the kingdom. Pride will keep you out of the kingdom. Pride will keep you out of the kingdom. Matthew 9, verse 11. Without repentance, there's no kingdom. True repentance. Like I always say, if you've never shed tears, you've probably never truly repented. Matthew 9 and verse 11. And seeing the Pharisee said to His disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But Yeshua hearing, He said to them, the healthy are not in need of a doctor, rather those that are sick. But go and learn what this is. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. We just read it. For I did not come to call righteous ones, but sinners to repentance. Why was Yeshua? You think it was a coincidence that He's working with prostitutes and tax collectors? No. These were people who knew what they were. They realized their worth. But the higher ones, the priests, the Pharisees, You know, the ones, the upper echelon, the Sadducees that lived in the big houses on the hill. They didn't want to hear this repentance business. They didn't need it. Pride kept them from coming to the kingdom of Yahweh. Matthew 11, go two chapters over. Matthew 11 and verse 27. All things were yielded up to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son purposes to reveal him. Come to me, all those laboring and being burdened, and I will give you rest. Bear my yoke upon you and learn from me, that I am tranquil and I am meek, and in my heart you will find tranquility in your souls, for my yoke is pleasant and my burden is light. See, when you come to Yahweh with a spirit of humility, He will give us the rest we're looking for. He will give us that peace of soul when you surrender to Him. Surrendering to Him is allowing Him to come in your life and fully take over and admitting, being able to admit there's nothing good about yourself except Him living in you. And honestly believing it, not just saying the words. And then He fills you. And the comfort and the peace you get in your life, the fruit you can bear, it's upon measure. Because now it's no longer about you. It's about Yahweh and the kingdom and loving your neighbor as yourself. Pride will stop you from repentance because pride is never wrong. What would you repent of? You're never wrong. Pride will stop you from repentance because to repent, you have to admit you did something wrong. And pride will stop you from admitting wrong. Pride is never wrong, so pride never says, I'm sorry. And pride also never forgives. Like I said, pride keeps a record of everything done. Because if you're not looking at what's wrong with you, you're going to look at what's wrong with everybody else. Pride will stop you from repentance as pride is never wrong. Pride never forgives. It simply justifies the self. Pointing of the finger, accusing spirit. That's what pride is. Pride will simply justify everything they're doing is right. And there's no need to repent because they did absolutely nothing wrong. Revelation 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and I am made rich and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked. Why are they naked? They have no covering. They don't need anything. They don't need anything. And yet they're miserable people, like it talks about in Peter. Their lives are miserable. They're always unhappy. They're wanderers. They never plant themselves. What does the Bible say about the people of Yahweh? You're planted by a riverside. If you're going to serve somewhere, you have to plant yourself somewhere. You can't constantly be a wanderer. Now again, there's times in our life we wander. You know, the children of Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Sometimes Yahweh takes you out from organized religion, and He takes you to that wilderness. But there's a time where you've got to plant yourself. Because once you're planted, now you could serve. But people with pride, they're miserable, they're wanderers, they're poor, they're blind, they don't see their pride, and they're naked, they have no covering. Because they're in need of nothing, including repentance. They need absolutely nothing. They're always right. And that's why you have all the heresies going around, because you can't talk to them about it. And what does Yeshua say? I advise you to buy from me gold, having been fired by fire, that you may really be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and your shame and nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. All of us have to work on growing toward the kingdom of Yahweh. All of us have human nature. All of us have pride to one degree or another. But we need eyes to see that we work on it. And as many as I love and I rebuke, I chastise. Be zealous then and repent. Be zealous then and repent. The Laodicean is filled with pride, and pride will blind you to the truth. Proverbs 13:10. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. says, arguing only comes by pride, but wisdom is with those who take advice. Another sign of a prideful person is somebody who's constantly antagonistic, constantly has to argue any point with you. I've seen people, even when you're trying to agree with them, they'll argue with you, just because it's their mentality. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And you're trying to agree with them, and they're arguing with you because they just have to argue about everything. And it's pride. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievance to him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof shall die. Sheol and destruction are before Yahweh, even more the hearts of the sons of men. A scorner does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. All over Proverbs we see this. The spirit-filled wise person wants reproof. He wants to grow, he wants to learn. But the prideful person only gets angry. You can't reprove them, they only get angry. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 in verse 8. We see the answer here. First John 3 in verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 10. 1 John 3 and verse 10. He says, by this the children of Yahweh are distinguished from the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother does not belong to Yahweh. It's that simple. Somebody who's going to come in, it doesn't matter if they keep the Sabbath, it doesn't matter if they're not eating pork, it doesn't matter if they're keeping the Hagim, if they're accusing, if they're lying, if they're angry, you know, if they're prideful, it is not the spirit of Yahweh. Very simple. By this, the children of Yahweh are distinguished from the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice, doesn't say believe, but practice righteousness, and does not love his brother, does not belong to Yahweh. Because this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and killed his brother. You know, words kill. By our words will be justified, by our words will be condemned. And when we're saying things against each other, when we're maligning, gossiping, talking behind the back, and not lifting each other up, we're killing each other. Because hate is murder. It's that simple. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and killed his brother. And for what did he kill him? Because his works were evil, but those of his brother were righteous. And the prideful person many times will say these things for no other reason than jealousy. They see somebody out there who's doing a good work. They see somebody out there who's performing something to Yahweh, and they're jealous, and they'll lie about the person. Or they'll say things, they'll twist it, and say things against somebody else. So be not surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. And if we're not going to be this way, it will hate us. It definitely will. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. The one not loving his brother remains in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer. And you know that not every murderer does not have understanding. And you know that every murderer does not have everlasting life abiding in him. By this we have known the love of Yahweh, because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our lives. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Humility, seeing that somebody's another brother or sister is equal. You're not better than them. And the greatest gift you can give is literally lay down your life. Now, it may be physical death. I've seen times. You know, there's a hostage standoff. And kill me, not him. But when we serve each other, when we're helping each other, when we're denying ourselves to help another brother or sister, we're laying down our life for a brother or sister. This is what I said yesterday. We're in it together. It's not my problem, your problem, his problem. All of our problems are the same problem. We're in it together. We're a family. We stick together as a family. And there's things that maybe I have to sacrifice in my life to make your life a little bit easier. I'm good with that. You know, that's fine. Because it is better to give than to receive. And there's more joy you get when you can help another brother or sister to something than getting it yourself. By this we have known the love of Yahweh, because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our lives. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy from him, how is the love of Yahweh in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yahweh is love. No love, no grace. And I say there's four steps to being broken. Without being broken, you'll never come to Yahweh. Surrendering to Yahweh takes being broken. And I equate it with starving people. The first step is you see it on TV. You know, you look on TV and you see starving people, and for that minute it catches your eye. It's almost like the parable of the seeds you can equate with these four steps. You know, and you feel bad for that minute. You feel really bad, and it was heartfelt. But as soon as the commercial is over, or the news clip, you don't feel so bad anymore. You move on. There's something else. There's something else that got your focus. So, hearing about hungry people, you know, first you hear about it, and then the second step is seeing it. You know, if somebody's telling you about people that are starving, people that are hungry, like I said, you hear it, you feel bad, but then, you know, 10 minutes later, an hour later, on to something else. But now you see it. It's like, whoa, that's what Don was talking about. You know, you see these children, you see it on TV, it breaks your heart. Skin and bones, starving to death. Step two, you're visualizing it by seeing it. And step three is to personally be there. And I'm telling you, if you've never been in this situation, it's life-changing to go to these places and actually physically see people. The worst part about it is you can't solve the problem, at least not with everybody. You can help in little ways. You know, like I said, I healed a blind man when I was in Kenya with a $20 bill. Healed a blind man. Guy kept saying, all I want is my eyes back to read my Bible. $20, bought him a pair of glasses and he could see. And there's something that when you're with it and you see it with your eyes. But the last point to really being broken is being hungry yourself. And I'll never forget the time when we were still back in America and we were talking in our local congregation about going out and helping the poor and the homeless. And one person in the congregation just was adamantly against it. Oh, those people want to be homeless. Oh, those people don't need it. Oh, those people are doing this. And a lady got up in our congregation, gave a testimony with tears in her eyes that she was homeless not that long ago. And everybody was shocked. Her husband left her. She lost her job. She had several children, and she wound up homeless. And she said, never think those people want to be that way. It's a difference between empathy and sympathy. We could feel sympathy for people, we could help. But if you want to be broken, you've got to be empathy. And that's why Yahweh puts us through trials. That's why we go through the fiery trials of burning with fire. Because it's purifying us. And I'm telling you, it breaks you. But you've got to be broken if you want to get in the kingdom of Yahweh. Because if we're not broken, we will walk in pride to one degree or another. And I'm telling you, when you go from those steps, when you go from just hearing from somebody, oh yeah, yeah, there's some hungry people, to visually seeing it with your eyes, to being there with those people, but then experiencing it yourself, it breaks you in a way that words can't explain it, unless you've been broken. I say it, I was a believer almost 12 years before I was broken. 12 years. Wasn't living in any sin, wasn't doing anything wrong. I helped the poor, I helped everybody. But I say, I don't even believe I was in covenant with Yahweh the first 12 years of my conversion until he broke me. You got to be broken. You have to be broken to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. If not, you know what you're doing? You're holding on to yourself and you're making yourself into your own Elohim. And there's 100 different ways to do it, but pride will stop you. I've seen people that were right on the edge of repentance. And then they walked out and the devil gave that little voice in their head and they didn't do it. They were right there. They almost got it. And then the devil, don't do it. You know what? If you surrender, if you give in, you're going to be vulnerable. They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to mock you. You're going to lose all your money. You're going to be homeless. No one will take care of you. Every single one of those things is Satan talking. Because what did Yahweh say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. People told us when we left America, they over and over and over, they kept saying, what are you going to do when you retire? What's going to happen when you're 65? I said it then, I say it now. You really think if I serve Yahweh my whole life and dedicate it to Him and live in faith like He says, that at 65 He's going to laugh at me and say, Don, why didn't you get an IRA? Where's your 401k? It's faith or no faith. We talked about this last week. Pride will not only limit your faith, there is no faith in pride. Because pride is faith in yourself. Pride is faith in yourself. Because you want the money for you to pay yourself. You want the money so if you're sick, you can take care of it. That's not faith. Faith is 100% surrender to Yahweh. And I'm telling you, the miracles, you all know it. He will take care of you if you trust in Him. Stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh. And you be silent. Pride stops us from being silent. Pride wants our way. Pride wants to be right. And pride will stop you from repentance. Remember, it's not about me. It's not about me. And that's why I say, you know, I said before, I had a great life. I have no complaints in my life, and I think all of us here really have good lives. But I realized a long time ago, it's not about my life. And I can't go to bed at night with peace, knowing that 1.5 million children are starving to death. Of knowing that for the time I sleep, every 6 or 9 minutes I'm sleeping, someone's going to die that's starving, that doesn't have food. War, what's going on in Sudan now? You know, it's starting up again, up near the northern border, where they're coming, they're just slaughtering these people. And these people in southern Sudan, as poor as they are, they never ask for help even for food. Because they've been doing this for thousands of years. They know how to grow food even when there's no rain. And yet now they're coming from the north, that Lord's army, whatever they call it, and they're slaughtering these people. They have to hide in the caves now where they can't put their seeds in the ground. And then the next 6 months to a year, many thousands of these people are going to die. 2 million have already died. So how do I have peace? Because it's not me. How does that give me peace? Well, you know, I'm better than that, or I'm higher than that. No, I'm not. It could be me. It could be. I could be there now, hiding in a cave, starving to death, and not being able to take care of myself. The only thing that's the difference is the grace of Yahweh, that I'm not in that situation. Nothing about me, nothing that I'm better or worse or anything else. You could have been born a poor person in Africa. You could have been born in the bush. You could have been born the son of the Queen of England. It just is all the will of Yahweh. So wherever we are, whether we're born in the bush or you're born the Queen of England, use it to the glory of Yahweh. But don't be prideful about it, because it's not about us. There's nothing that we personally chose of who we are. None of us chose our parents. None of us chose, you know, our where we were born in the world. And it's about saving lives. If you really love your brother as yourself, then how can we not live for that kingdom every day? How can we not, with a humble spirit, live every day for that kingdom where not one child will die? Not one person will suffer from starvation. Not one person will be brutally murdered simply because they're of another race or another tribe. Let's go to Luke 14. Luke 14. Be ending shortly. And he was speaking a parable to them who were invited there because he was seeing those who were choosing places among the front seats. When you are invited by anyone to wedding feasts, do not recline at the chief seat, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And coming, he who invited will say to you, give this one place. And then you begin with shame to take the last place. And when you are invited, going in, recline at the last place, so that when he who had invited you may come, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then glory will be given to you before those reclining with you. For everyone exalting himself will be humbled, and the one humbling himself will be exalted. And he also said to him who had invited him, when you make a dinner or supper, do not call your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also should invite you in return, and it become a repayment to you. But when you make a banquet, call the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And then you will be blessed, for they have nothing to repay you. For it will be repaid to you in the resurrection of the just. You know, a lot of times you look in wings of hospitals, and you'll see these plaques, you know, so-and-so donated $1 million to get this wing. And hey, praise Yahweh, they gave the money in the hospital there. That's the most important thing. But why do we need worldly recognition? The Bible says when you give alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You know, why do we want to be recognized that we're doing these things? And the only one that matters recognition is Yahweh. And most of the time, it's pride. Not all the time. Sometimes it's good for recognition for other reasons. Bring to light that maybe more people will help or serve or whatever. But most of the time, it's simply pride. Simply pride. Hebrews 4, verse 15. You know, we talked about this a lot at the school, about what it means to be a real slave. And like I say, before you can honestly consider yourself a slave, you have to surrender. A slave has no rights of his own. A slave has 100% fully giving himself over to his master. And not in a bad way. Like I said, that word slave, it's like the word sacrifice. You know, in English you're thinking giving up, where actually in Hebrew it's drawing closer to. You know, when you read the book of Exodus, you know, a slave is somebody who is cared for. A real master doesn't abuse his slave. He cares for him. You know, it's like in kingdom principles. You know, that we're all going to be the slave of the master who's going to care for everything. And to really surrender to Yeshua in the covenant that we've entered. And now Passover coming, where we're really meditating on what he gave up for us to just be here. To be sitting in these chairs and to be accounted as part of his congregation. One way to build humility over pride, like I said, pride is me. Humility is, it's not about me. Is to, instead of be focusing on what you're doing and all the great things you're doing for the kingdom, is to be focusing on the one who died for us. And I think, you know, in the messianic movement that has distanced itself from organized Christianity and religion, in many ways, I agree with them. I think one way, though, that they've missed the boat is many times they distance themselves from the supremacy in Messiah. They distance themselves from the great sacrifice that Yeshua did, coming to earth, dying for our sins, and not just doing that in one act, like it was a 30-minute rendition, but that he came here for 30-some-odd years. He suffered all the things that we suffered. He went through all the things as a human being. He went through trials. He went through living a normal life as a human being for 30-some-odd years so that he could fully understand what we go through as human beings and that he could be a high priest that's there when we need him if in humility we come to him. And in order to do that, we have to put our pride aside and admit we're weak. We have to admit we have weaknesses that we can't overcome on our own and only he can overcome through his Spirit. So as I read here, think about that in Hebrews 4, verse 15. It says, for we have not a high priest who cannot share our infirmities, but we have one who was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace in the time of need. Our greatest asset, our greatest strength, is in our Savior, who is there at the right hand of the Father for us, always with his hand out, just waiting for us. But again, we have to ask. And to ask, we have to be in need of something, not in need of nothing. Hebrews 2 and verse 16. Hebrews 2 and verse 16. He says, "For he did not take on the likeness of cherubs, but he takes on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it was right that he should in every manner resemble his brethren, that he might be merciful, a high priest faithful in all the things of Elohim, and he might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted." There is such power in the blood of Yeshua that many times we don't go to. Because again, pride stops us. We have to stop listening to that voice of pride. Whether that voice is telling you to go and repent to somebody that you've offended, whether that voice is telling you to go and build a greater relationship with Yahweh and share your weaknesses with Him, or that voice is telling you to serve your brother, you know, as yourself. We have to stop listening to the voice of pride and start listening to the voice of Yahweh. Matthew 5, the last scripture I'll go into here. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the ones mourning, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I don't see any scriptures in the Bible that talk about any inheritance for the prideful except the lake of fire. Humility, again, is the opposite of pride. Pride is simply giving yourself a self-worth that's not there. It's a lie that Satan the devil gives you, because we're all creatures of habit and creatures of pride, and we'll fall for it if we don't let the Spirit of Yahweh come in. Humility is the opposite. Humility is lowering yourself to where we're really at, to know better than anybody else, in loving our neighbor as ourself. So let us, during this Passover season, let us eradicate all pride from our own life and from the congregation, and let us strive to have that spirit of humility that comes and seeks out our Savior every day of our life and builds that relationship with Him and gives Him the glory that He deserves. Yahweh bless.